This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
All right, our buddy Joel Klatt is with us. At Joel Klatt on Twitter. You'll see him on Fox tomorrow. Klatt, you got Nebraska, Ohio State. Am I correct on that?
Yes, sir. I am in Columbus, ready to rock.
What do you expect out of Ohio State? I mean, it's the longest layoff in college football history. But this is a team that everybody just expects to come out and look like Alabama and Clemson right out of the chute.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of expectations. I've actually talked with Ryan about that this week, about the expectation, and he's a bit nervous that his team is going to try to, fulfill every bit of their expectation in the first series of the game.
Yeah.
And you know, it's been a long time coming. They fought hard to play just period here, and they're finally here. But what am I going to expect? I think that they're a really, really good team. I think that they are clearly as talented as Clemson or Alabama or Georgia, for the matter. And I think that the difference between Clemson and Alabama and Georgia is the fact that you've got great quarterback play going on with Bama and Clemson. And I think that you're going to get that, obviously, with Ohio State. I think those are the four teams that are easily the best four teams in the country right now. And I think that there's a pretty wide gap. In fact, I've been doing, you guys probably do this all the time. I don't know. I was just kind of nerding out about, like, the actual rosters in college football, and I don't know if any of your listeners, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but follow me on social media. I was tweeting out a lot about five-star roster makeup. So there's about, I think it's 113, I want to say, five-star players in college football right now. Any class, right? So that were just recruited as five-star athletes. And 53 of those are on Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, or Ohio State. the concentration of talent is there. I expect Ohio State to be very good, but I'm interested to see how their defense plays. And obviously Justin Fields, I think he's going to be out there trying to vie for a Heisman Trophy.
Well, that defense will be going against Adrian Martinez. And look, and I asked this question earlier this week, Joel, but I wanted to get your opinion because you played the position. Thought it was interesting coming off such a subpar year last year for Scott Frost in year two. He comes out, he names Adrian Martinez, a kid that has started 21 games in his career, the starting quarterback. But he said, hey, if we would have had longer, more reps, Luke McCaffrey probably would have been our guy. Did you find that a little strange that he came out and publicly said that?
Yeah, I did. I think that there's an interesting dynamic going on there. I think that the dynamic at Nebraska right now with their quarterback position is very similar to what the Chicago Bears were dealing with at the beginning of this season with Trubisky and Nick Foles. In that, I just don't think that there's a lot of return on investment in naming either Foles or Luke McCaffrey the starter from the get-go, because you kind of lose the other guy right away, and then you don't have a card to play. There's nowhere to go if it doesn't go right. So let's say they decide to go with Luke McCaffrey and they bench the incumbent, the guy who has started 21 games, had a great freshman season, and then struggled last year. Well, maybe you lose him. And if Luke McCaffrey struggles, which, by the way, he probably will, because the beginning of the season for them and their schedule is brutal, they're going to have to play basically the three best teams in the Big Ten in their first four games. They're going to have to play Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn State in their first four. If it doesn't go well for Luke McCaffrey, I just don't know where you go from there. So I think that's one of the big reasons why they're starting Adrian Martinez, and we'll see if Luke McCaffrey can get on the field, and I think that he will, and we'll probably see both of them tomorrow.
We do encourage you to follow Joel Klatt on Twitter and Instagram and everything, because he does put out some fantastic stuff.
By the way, you guys may not have noticed, I've all of a sudden become like the Bama defender out there.
Big SEC guy, Joel Klatt.
Jones is my Heisman front runner. Yeah. I've been badgering Colin about his take on Alabama. It feels very strange.
Well, that's why I was getting to. I was going to let the Alabama fans listening know it was safe to follow Clatt again because the Clatt monkey of old is swinging from a different vine now. I mean, you got Mac Jones in New York, and I wanted you to talk more about that.
Well, I think it's going to be a virtual New York this year, but yes, the Heisman race is so fascinating, and this is where, like, Bama fans won't like it, and I actually had a couple of them. I've got a couple of really good buddies, actually, who are Bama fans, and they immediately texted me about my comparison when I said, and I said this week, that Mac Jones seems to be having kind of a Joe Burrow-esque season. And they're like, oh, don't compare him to Joe Burrow. And I'm like, well, listen, get over it, because Joe Burrow had the greatest college football quarterback season that we've ever seen. And if you're being compared to that, then that's a good thing. And right now, Mac Jones is ahead of Joe Burrow, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it. But to me, the comparison is that you've got these veteran quarterbacks who, you know, kind of journeyman-style, middling, you know, guys that get their shot, and then they're taking advantage of what I deem as, like, an incredible resource-rich offense around them. You know, last year LSU had the best offensive line in the country. They won the Joe Moore Award. They had unbelievable wide receivers. You know, what Jefferson and Chase did was incredible. They had a really good back who's even playing great right now with the Chiefs. They had an aggressive, young, creative play caller in their passing game in Joe Brady. And I think that Mac Jones has all of those things and maybe then some. I think that his wide receiver group might even be as good or better than what Burrow had last year. I think his running back is better, although I don't know if Harris catches it quite as dynamically as Allaire did. Allaire had, I think, 55 catches last year out of the backfield. But then Steve Sarkisian and what he's been doing offensively, the aggressive nature that he's going down the field, you know, I mean, Mac Jones is playing really good football. And that's the other thing. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, Mac, and he's got all those weapons. But I will say this. I go and break down the Alabama film every single Sunday morning, Saturday night. I watch what Alabama does. I watch what Clemson does. Mac's playing really good football. The throw, and I know it's just like a little touch pass, but the throw, the last touchdown to Devontae Smith was an unbelievable throw. Like, people have no concept of how tough that is to throw a touch pass over tight man coverage in front of the back of the end zone. And granted, Smith makes an ungodly catch and contorts his body, gets his foot down. But the ball placement was ridiculous. And it reminded me a little of Burrow right there. And that's when I started kind of making the comparison. And I think he's playing great. And I think that he's got a great chance to win the Heisman Trophy.
And you can follow Clatt on Twitter at Joel Clatt. See him on Fox this weekend with Ohio State and Nebraska. The big noon kickoff, 11 o'clock if you're a Central timer. And he's with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. I think he throws the best deep ball I've ever seen, Clatt. And I'm just guessing that's just an inherent trait. I mean, obviously repetition helps, but not every quarterback can put the deep ball on the money. And it seems like he does it every single time.
Yeah, and I think what I'm most impressed with is that he's not scared with his deep ball ball placement. And here's what I mean by that. Guys that are scared to throw the deep ball generally are scared because they don't want to turn it over. They don't want to make mistakes. And so what happens is that they always leverage outside. And when you're throwing it, in particular outside the numbers, you're just taking your wide receiver closer to the sideline. And you see a lot of those passes go out of bounds, right? And it drives me nuts when I see a go ball thrown out of bounds. And for instance, right, on the ball to Waddle, right, and that's a turning point in the game, right? Last 5 minutes of the third quarter, Bama's backed up inside their own 10-yard line. They're down 24-20. Georgia's playing really well on the defensive side of the football. And if they get a stop, you know, they're going to create a short field for their offense. And so this, you know, they could go up 10 there. Like, this is a huge series. You've got to change field position. You got to do something. It's an excellent call by Steve Sarkisian. But the ball placement to Waddle, when he actually brings him inside rather than taking him outside, right? Like, that's what creates the touchdown, is that Waddle can stay on his feet because he comes inside the numbers. And Mac Jones understands that the safety bites on the little dig route. You know, it's kind of a little – they switch release on that top side, and then the middle route kind of occupies the safety because there was confusion with the man coverage underneath it. And then he brings them just inside the numbers. That, to me, screams confidence in the deep ball. And you're right. He throws it incredibly well, and he better with those guys on the outside. And I got to tell you, like, it doesn't seem to be going away. And if I was Tennessee, I would be very nervous because they played awful against Kentucky, and now you've got Bama that seems to be hitting on all cylinders.
Okay, Clad, another question I've asked, but nobody can give me an answer. You watched JT Daniels his entire freshman year out in the Pac-12 for USC. I just don't understand why this kid is not playing. He is more I know he was inconsistent his freshman year. He is more talented than Stetson Bennett, and if Georgia wants to get back in this and possibly win a championship, it's not going to be with Stetson Bennett. Why is JT Daniels not playing?
Listen, yes to everything. I'm wondering the exact same thing. So it's got to be his health, right? Or is it? Because 2 years ago, clearly a more talented Justin Fields had to sit behind Jake Fromm, to the point where he transferred and now he's going to be a Heisman. I mean, he's the only returning Heisman Trophy finalist in college football. You know, when you look at, like, think about that for a moment, guys, that Georgia team that you saw last week in Tuscaloosa that was clearly as talented as Alabama, maybe not at wide receiver and clearly not at quarterback, and you've got a quarterback that was on their roster from the state, that's sitting up here in Columbus dying to play football and is the only returning Heisman Trophy finalist. So, like, this happens at Georgia, and I don't know why. They're mismanaging the quarterback position to the degree that Texas A&M did under Kevin Sumlin. Remember when they had all those guys, the Kenny Hills of the world and the Kyler Murrays of the world, and they couldn't retain any of them. And it seems to be the same in Georgia. Why is Jamie Newman opting out in a grad transfer year? That doesn't make much sense to me. You know, how can DeJuan Mathis not be on the field? That doesn't make much. Like, you're Georgia. You've got 16 five-star recruits, the most five-star recruits of any team in the country, and you've got to start, like, the equivalent of Joel Klatt? Like, what? I was a walk-on. Like, what are we doing?
Before you go, I want to ask you about Gus. You guys do such an entertaining job. The Red River Shootout was 4 hours of just fascinating television. But do you ever, with his excitement level and his nonstop energy, do you ever, I don't know if you watched the TV show Westworld, but if you reached over and peeled back a little of Gus's skin, do you expect to find a machine underneath there? Because he is nonstop energy.
I have not seen that show. I don't know if I've told you guys, but part of the secret is that up in the booth, his spotter doubles as his hype man, you know, Scotty Dothard, who's become like family. You know, he will immediately, you know, step back and Gus will just stop looking at the field and he'll look at each other. They'll look at each other and Scott will kind of like start dancing around in the booth. And I'm like, oh, this is the secret. Is that he's got a hype man, and it's so that's incredible. I wish there was like some sort of Snoop cam that you guys could watch in our booth, because I think it would be as fascinating as the game itself. Hey, let me ask you. I know you're probably running up against a break. Let me ask you guys: are Bama fans frustrated with the defense or not? And do you feel like this is a Belichickian, like, you know, kind of Mongolian reversal of style of play from 5 years ago, and that's why people are not talking about the defense for Bama?
I think extreme, super frustrated coming out of the Ole Miss game, no doubt. I think they saw great signs of hope in the second half against Georgia, and they were probably pretty frustrated at halftime there based on my Twitter comment, but you know this, Klatt. I made a statement at halftime that was factually incorrect, and Alabama played a different half in the second half. I think Bama fans are hopeful that carries over.
Yeah, I would say yes to your questions that they are frustrated. They point at Pete Golding a lot, the defensive coordinator, And then when that doesn't satisfy them, they say the way we play offense now makes it harder on the defense.
Well, yes, it does. And just two little things that I want to say that I would actually be in defense of the defense at Alabama. One is this kind of is the new modern day, you know, college football. I don't think you can just go out there and play dominant defense for an entire year. In fact, LSU was maybe the best team that we've ever seen, and their defense wasn't great. They gave up 21 points a game. And remember now, if you take away their Utah State, Northwestern State, and I don't know, Little Sisters of the Poor, they played three nobodies. The defense was doing about what Bama's defense is doing right now. And then I would also point to the fact that, like, only great coaches know how to win at the top end of their sport with different styles of roster and team. And that's why I say Belichickian, is because Belichick's one of the only guys that I've ever seen in this sport that has won running the football, one throwing the football, one with defense. He can kind of do everything. And it seems like Nick is navigating that switch as well as anybody that we've seen out there. And so, you know, I would just say that in defense of them. And by the way, that offense, boys, like, they're going to score 40 points a game. So, you know, it's going to take a Herculean effort offensively. And I know Ole Miss tried, but I think that defense is much better than people give them credit for.
Listen, 13 straight wins for Alabama over Tennessee, but I don't know if you know your streak. That is now 7 straight appearances where you have been able to work in Little Sister of the Poor. And I didn't think it was going to happen this year because of all-SEC schedule,
crush.
But you did it, man. Way to go.
Yeah, that's good.
It's either that or Jones Junior High School, and to be honest, in your parts, I'm like, there probably are Jones Junior High Schools, so I don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah. Hey, we got to do this super super quick. Rockstar, tell Klatt if Gus Johnson was on CBS and not Fox, who would his analyst be?
Oh, that would be Gary Danielson from CBS.
No, you got to say it like Gus said it last week. How would Gus have said it?
It'd be my friend Gus Danielson, Gary Danielson, or as Mr. Miyagi likes to call him, Gary Danielson.
No, he didn't.
No. That was Rockstar doing Gus. Gus has never been on our show. He's welcome anytime, though. Thank you, Klatt. We'll see you tomorrow with Ohio State, Nebraska.
Oh, I almost panicked right there because if he did do that, he would have been fired before tomorrow.
See you, Klatt. Thank you.
See ya.
All right, that is Joe Klatt on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline, an easy drinking hard seltzer with just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.